Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tega Industries Limited Q1 FY23 results conference call organized by Orient Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nachiket Kale from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks. Hello, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Tega Industries Limited. Today on this call we have Mr. Mehul Mohanka, Managing Director and Group CEO, along with Mr. Syed Imam, Director of Global Product Management Group and Head of Sales. Also accompanied by Mr. Manoj Kumar Agarwal, Director, Global Finance and Chief Financial Officer. Before we proceed to begin the call, just a small disclaimer that the conference call may contain some forward-looking statements which are based on the beliefs, opinions and expectation of the company as on date of this call. The actual results may differ materially. A detailed safe harbor statement has also been given on the company's investor presentation, which was uploaded to the stock exchanges today. I would now like to hand over the call to the management. Mr. Mehul, can you please take over?
Thank you, Nachiket. Good afternoon and a warm welcome to all the participants on the call. I am joined today this afternoon by two of my colleagues, Mr. Yaver Imam, who's the Director, Global Product Management Group, and Mr. Manoj Agarwal, who's our CFO. I hope everyone by now has had an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentations, which have been uploaded on the stock exchanges as well as on our website. We are happy to present the financial results of the first quarter of this financial year. This quarter was marked by a bleak global macro environment affected by the geopolitical issues in Europe, the recessionary outlook in leading economies, the volatility in currencies and inflationary pressures on raw materials. In unfavorable circumstances, the underlying strength in our business is evident in our performance. On a year-on-year terms, we have delivered double-digit growth across all our key metrics. Since this is the first time that we are declaring our Q1 results after listing, I would like to explain a crucial factor in our revenue pattern. As seen in our full year results published last quarter, our revenue builds up throughout the financial year, starting from a moderate Q1 and finishing higher in Q4. Hence, the performance analysis of quarter-on-quarter versus year-on-year for our business will be more relevant. For the past few quarters, the disruption in supply chain, coupled with rising fuel and commodity costs, affected our margins. In Q1, there was some respite in logistics costs, which has reduced since the last quarter. However, the costs are still higher than the normal prices from a pre-COVID era, and commodity inflation persists, as well as raw material prices remain elevated. As a business, we pass through any cost escalations to our customers with a lag of a few quarters. We are encouraged by the opportunities in front of us and have a strong pipeline with a robust order book of 3,004 million as of June 30th, 2022, compared to 2,359 million as on March 31, 2022. We are committed to building a true homegrown global powerhouse in our industry. Now I would like to hand over to Mr. Manoj Agarwal, our CFO, to take you through the financial performance of the company for the period under review.
Thank you, Mr. Mohanka, and a very good afternoon to all the participants. I will share the highlights of our performance for the quarter, following which we will be happy to respond to your queries. Company reported a total revenue from operation at rupees 2,444 million, delivering a strong growth of 41.1% YoY. Material margin also improved by 200 basis points sequentially from quarter four March 2022 to the quarter of June 2022. Hence, we have been able to pass through some of the price increase to our vendors, to our suppliers. Operating EBITDA stands at 461 million and has almost doubled from rupees 235 million in the corresponding quarter last year. Operating EBITDA improved from 14% to 19% YOY, showing an improvement of 500 basis points on a YOY basis. The improvement of EBITDA is due to higher volume that resulting in better absorption of fixed cost also. Other expenses has gone up from 461 million last year to INR 588 million in this quarter. Most of the growth on account of higher volume only and some element of price as well. PAT has delivered a strong growth of 94% YOY and stand at 230 million INR from 118 million INR corresponding quarter. PAT margin is up from 7% to 9.5%, an increase of 250 basis points. If I have been to exclude the non-operating income, the PAT has gone up from 3.33% to 10.77% on YOY basis. Now we can open the floor for the Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Sandeep Tulsian from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good afternoon. The first question is pertaining to the volume versus value growth that we have seen in the current quarter, which highlight that with a lag of 2 quarters, we will be able to pass through and definitely
Mr. Tulsian, your voice is top end growth. Can you repeat, please?
Is this better?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, so my first question was on the value versus volume growth that you have seen in the first quarter and price increases that you have taken. We did see a very strong top-line growth of 41%. So if you could just break it up to understand how much of price increases is taken, what of realization increases built into this number, if any more price increases are yet to come through, which could not be completely taken in this quarter.
Thank you, Sandeep. So out of this 41%, actually, there are 3 components. One is the exchange side. In the exchange, we have lost about 3% YOY. And on the price side, we take an increase of 30 to 14% on the price side, and the volume is about 30%.
So it's largely more volume, understood. And also, if you could help us understand between your different segments, mill liners and non-mill liners, how the growth has been. And within mill liners, specifically Dynaprime range, how that has grown during the quarter. And if you can also give some qualitative perspective, which are the geographies where you see growth from, any particular over category which is growing faster versus the other? How do you see this number panning out for the year? A qualitative perspective on the same, please.
Yeah. So on the 3 broad category which we talked about, Dynaprime mill segment and non-Dynaprime mill segment and the non-mill segment. So on Dynaprime side, on absolute terms, have grown about 157%. Which consists of volume about 150%, price 10%, and exchange loss of 10%. Having said that, just to put on record that if you can recall last year, first quarter, there were some challenges in Chile, in supply chain side. So there we have not been able to, you know, build up about 15 crores of revenue. So that is because the trajectory is showing very high in terms of growth of Dynaprime in this quarter, which will certainly normalize in the coming quarters. On the mill side, non-Dynaprime, we have grown about 32%. Again, 18% is more of a business growth and 17% is about price growth. Non-mill side, we have grown 15% YOY. That is 8% is about business growth and about 7% is a price growth in that.
Okay. And any perspective on the over versus geography versus any new customer addition that you can help us to understand how this growth can turn out for the financial year 2023?
Yeah. Mr. Imam, will you take that call?
Yeah.
as far as ore is concerned, the ore we are concentrating on copper and gold ore, as we have right from the beginning, from the IPO, we have been informing that 75% is there. So our focus is still on gold and copper, and with iron ore as a small portion of that. The process that we have put in as far as build-up of identification, trials, and turning it into a full mill as far as Dana Prime is concerned is going on across geographies. Earlier it was limited to LATAM. Now we are doing it across geography. We have also concentrated on the business development, with putting someone actively involved with business development. So our business development activity is very strong, and some of the numbers which you are getting is because of the increase in the business development activity.
Yes, sir. And last question what I have is on the logistics and the capex cost. Logistics, if you can, I think in the previous call you have been pretty transparent in highlighting how you know, this cost cannot be completely passed through, but as these costs will come down, which we are seeing, you know, what kind of margin impact this has had in the current quarter, and how much it can cool off to. And also on the annual capex number, we had given an overall guidance of 250 crores to 270 crore over a 3-year period. So how much will you incur in the current financial year out of that? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sandeep. So on the logistics side, what we see that the peak which was in quarter 3 last financial year, from there it is on the downtrend. When I say downtrend, it has gone down at least by 20-22% of the peak, but still very high from the normalization rates what we had, you know, pre-COVID levels. Yes, that has an impact on our margin. If you see the margin what we had in the March quarter, from there we have able to build up about 200 plus basis point on a quarter to quarter basis. So normalization of logistic cost from the peak is giving some advantage to us in terms of, you know, overall margin increase, and we still believe that this will go little further down as well. Having said that, we do not know how China-Taiwan issue will ramp up, because that will may have again a big impact if it happens to be a kind of, you know, a disaster. Otherwise, we believe that logistic cost going to be a little more normalized in that sense. So mix of normalization and passing through to customers will help us to take the margin to a level of 60%, which is what we aspire for. On the capex side, we are still on the same kind of stand what we've taken in the last call. As of now, on the Chile side, we already acquired land, having spent about 25 crores towards that. And the rest of the year will be going to kind of spend on the capex side as planned. And I want to talk about 250 crores of capex plan for next 3 years, which is still going to happen on a quarterly or a yearly basis. Most spend will happen in first 2 years, and third year will be a little lower.
Got it. All right. Thank you so much, sir, for taking this question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have our next question from the line of Dheeral from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, if you can quantify the DynaPrime number for the quarter.
Sure. So DynaPrime quantity of revenue is 453 million against 176 million corresponding quarter last year.
And what about non-DynaPrime mill liner and the non-mill liner?
So let me break down for you. So on the revenue side for the current year, DynaPrime is 453 million. Non-DynaPrime mill liner is 1389 million, and non-mill is 466 million.
Okay, and so gross margins, if we compare on a YY basis, it is down 180 bps. So what explains the fall in the gross margin?
So what is down?
So gross margins, if I see gross margins on a YOY basis, last year Q1 as compared to this year Q1, it is still down 180 bips.
Yes, so as I said that if you see the last year, the price traction on the upward side started from quarter 2 onwards. So the price impact was not there in quarter 1 last year. And the price ramp up started from the quarter 2. Hence, if you see the trajectory of the margin started going down from quarter 1 onwards until March last year. And from March last year to this quarter, we have again coming up gradually. So that way, if you see 60.42% was in quarter 1 last year, and March was 56.58. Now from 56.58, we have come up to 58.70. So in that sense, we have been able to, you know, transfer the cost to the customers. And as we said, it will take little longer time because of the very abnormal increase in prices. So we are just coming to the 60%, you know, trajectory in the next 1 to 2 quarters.
Okay, and sir, and lastly, if I see, sir, on a other expense side, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, despite the fall in the revenue, our other expense on Q1 has remained elevated.
Yeah, so see, other expenses mix of the fixed cost and your variable cost. Now, there are two elements. If you see otherwise, the inflationary environment is very, very big. So, all the inflation globally is very high. In fact, it's the other way around that inflation is double digit outside India, which is the most cost-prone countries, right? That has impacted the cost in terms of other expenses and also some of the volume cost sitting there. So in other ways, we have been able to manage the inflation environment by keeping the cost at the same level what we had last quarter.
Okay, so we are still maintaining our EBITDA margin guidance of 21 to 23%, right? For the full year.
You are right.
Okay, sir, just lastly, since our 85 to 90% of revenue is export generated and we have seen, you know, rupee depreciating almost 5 to 6% in June quarter, then too, sir, we have reported an exchange loss that you stated earlier. So what is the reason for that?
So in our numbers, a lot of exchanges are there. So in the revenue, what has happened that on the India side, dollar side, we have gained about 20 million in revenue. Okay. But when we have translated the overseas revenue into INR, there is a loss of about 75 million. So Indian dollar side we have gained, but while we convert our revenue to INR, we have lost about 75 million. So hence 75 loss, 20 Indian side gain is making 55 million of net loss as far as revenue is concerned.
So which are the three major revenue, sir, in which we book our sales apart from dollar?
So India, we have dollar, then euro, Audi and CADI. And as far as our other entities concerned, which is Chile and South Africa, that's in peso and JAR locally. So we need to convert that into INR while we make our accounts, right? So there's a transaction loss of 75 million.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your phone. We have our next question from the line of Balasubramanian from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Congratulations for a good set of numbers. Sir, our exports value growth shows 50% and volume growth minus 27% as per the exam. And the major of exports in Australia around 44% and Netherlands and South Africa and Canada and remaining other countries. Sir, like what kind of challenges you are facing while transporting these countries right now? So what is the container's cost average? It's kind of 20 to 25,000 for 14 feet containers.
So let me try to answer because I think I'm not able to clearly hear you because of line disturbance. So when you talk about the challenges in exporting the material outside India, so that challenges little bit eased out this financial year. So even challenge was there last year also, we have been able to plan in advance to ensure that our customers should not suffer, right? And we have not failed any of the, you know, supply to any of our customers worldwide. Now from there, things are much better as of today. As I said that the prices of container has gone down by 22% from the peak of quarter three last financial year. So availability of containers, even price, both are on a downtrend trajectory. But again, we are keeping a very, very close watch on that, how it pan out.
Sir, it shows that 27% volume degrowth. So you are exporting more value-added products or?
When you say 27% volume, you are talking about quarter-on-quarter?
Yes, sir, compared to last quarter.
So that's what I think our MD also initially said, that if you have seen our March quarter result, our is a lumpy business, right? Hence, we ramp up from quarter one to the quarter four. So quarter one tends to be lower and quarter four tends to be higher as a business. So hence, comparing with the quarter and quarter may not give good direction to you. Even you can compare YOY gives a better direction as far as our business is concerned.
Yes, sir, I'm talking about year on year compared to last quarter, last year quarter.
Last quarter, we have grown 41%.
Okay, sir, I'm talking about the volume growth in exports.
So volume growth, I said, now we've grown about 30% of volume growth, YOY.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. So could you please give breakup for Chile revenue, Dynaprime and others?
So I think that much of revenue will just, maybe very, we are just going into very detail. So Dynaprime, basically Chile, what they do about close to about 80 to 85% in the mill segment is Dynaprime. And about 15% they do in non-Dynaprime segment.
Okay, sir. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Digant Haria from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
So my question was, I understand that we, most of our sales come from the mining industry. But within mining, if you can give some flavor of, how much comes from, copper, aluminium, and, as in within non-ferrous, which are the major drivers, and within each of them, do we have, major clients where we can still make inroads and ensure that, our growth for future years is high?
So in our business, basically, as rightly said, we deal with more of the mining producing industries. So on the metal side, we deal majorly on the gold and copper side, right? And gold is a major portion of our revenue, tends to be 40 to 45%. And then followed by copper, which is 20 to 22%. And third is about iron ore, which is about 15%. These three are the major segment for our revenue driver. And then rest of the, about 15-20% comes from all set of metals. You talk about platinum, titanium, diamond, zinc, aluminium. So a whole lot of, metals are there. But the major contribution comes from gold and copper, which is about 65%.
Okay, sir. So I understand that, gold, maybe we would be quite dominant because, gold is anyways, very small quantities are mined every year. But then, in iron ore and aluminium, I think that our market share in these metals would be very low because these are very, very large industries, especially the iron ore and the aluminium. So is there any scope, is there much more scope than what we are there in these industries, or the products they use are different from the products that we have in case of mill liners or conveyor products?
Okay. Will you take this?
Yeah, I'll take this, Manoj.
Okay.
See, 75% of the liner business is in copper and gold. The reason being that copper, to mine 1 ton of copper, you have to process around 200 tons of ore. In gold, to get 10 grams of gold, you have to process 1 ton of ore. So what happens is, if you look at iron ore and aluminium is a total different industry. The process is different. As far as iron ore is concerned, iron ore today occurs at a very high grade. Around the in India, we have 67-70% of the grade. In globally, in Brazil and all, you have around 40-45% there. So they have to be enhanced from 45 to 67. So the mills requirements are much lesser over there compared to other industries. Okay, so that is why the our market share is also in gold, copper, and then iron ore, as Manoj said. The reason being that the process requirement for the liners is accordingly.
Right. Thank you so much. This is very, very helpful and very detailed explanation. So in gold and copper, would we be present with the top 10 or top 15 mining companies of the world? Like, would we have inroads there, or are there some big accounts which we can still crack in the coming years?
We are, as we had said right from the beginning in the IPO, we are just touching this thing, because the area which we have opened with Dana Prime is a $1 billion industry, okay, for a liner industry for us. And we have just started in that, and we, as Manoj said, we did around 201 crore last year. So there's a huge growth prospect going there, and we are in presence in all the top 40 miners of the world.
Okay. Thank you so much for this. If I have more questions, I'll come back. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. We have our next question from the line of Alisha Mahavla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you for taking my question. So what is your capacity utilization currently?
Manoj?
Yes, I'm just giving that. So in this quarter one, we're at about 61% of our capacity utilization.
Okay. And for FY23, except the capex that we're doing in Chile, there's no other capex that we're currently doing?
Yes.
Okay. And what was the order book number that you mentioned? I missed it.
That is, we have about close to 300 crores of order book.
And this is executable in one quarter, 3-4 months?
It is about close to 4 months.
4 months. And would you like to quantify what is the, based on the current demand, also because you said that currently the global environment is kind of bleak, what is the kind of volume growth that the company can aspire for the current year?
So as we said that we are looking for 15-18% of CAGR in next 3 to 5 years, but the idea is always to surpass that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Keval Asher from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Mr. Asher, you're not audible.
Hello, am I audible?
Your voice is able to hear you.
Okay, I'll be back in the queue. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Bhavin Vitlani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Could you help us on what has been the freight cost as a percentage of revenue? And we were targeting to move a significant part of our customers from CIF to FOB. And where are we in that journey?
So our packing forwarding cost, which was about close to 8 standard level, because major freight is sitting in the India, right? So about 8%+ was there, which has come down to close to about 7.25 kind of percentage as of now. With two impact, one is that the freight rate has gone down, and the first quarter, what we see that we have also been able to transfer some of the customer into FOB as well. So overall, basically, that gives us an advantage of 50 basis points in this quarter.
And sorry for this, what was the freight rates pre the increase, let's say, in FY19-20?
So that was close to about, let's say, 6.5-6% kind of things. So as we said last time that the gap was around 1.5% over what's coming. So maybe we have been able to manage 50 basis point as of now. We have still challenge of 1%.
Okay. And we expect it to correct it during the course of the next financial year?
So the idea is to just see that how much we can pass on, let's say about 25 basis points further. And if there's if some downtrend continue in the freight side, that may help us to, you know, come to normalize and get it 1% by the year end. But it's a mix of both price correction and the price pass on both.
Sure. The second question is on the DynaPrime side. We were roughly around 30 million last year. Could you give us a picture as to where our DynaPrime has gone in for various tests and the customer has given us an approval? So if those approval were to be converted into the entire conversion by the customer, what could our revenue potential be over the next year or two from the DynaPrime, given where the trials have been successful?
Yeah, sir?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of forward-looking statement you want over there. But just to tell you what we have been maintaining right from the beginning, that as far as DynaPrime is concerned, we are going to grow at 30% CAGR for the next 2-3 years. And if you look at the figures that is happening today, we are on line with that.
Fair. On the non-bill liner side, we saw muted growth last year. Could you just help us? What was the key reason and what is the outlook that we are seeing currently?
So again, as far as non-bill growth is there, Manoj has given you the figure about the growth that we have done in the non-bill mill also. Okay. So I think the trajectory of the growth is happening in all the three verticals, which is DynaPrime, mill, non-DynaPrime, as well as the non-mill business.
Sure. So the question was, I mean, the lower growth versus the other two categories in the non-mill liner segment, was there any specific reason why our growth was lower last year and why are we expecting the growth rates to move up?
No, there is not a specific reason. What we have done in this year, I mean, we have also taken out a vertical for non-mills to concentrate on that. So I think over the next couple of quarters, it will start, I mean, it's already start giving some results. We the concentration on non-mill will also bring it into the growth trajectory that we are looking for in the other sector.
Fair. Just last question. How is the profitability between the DynaPrime, the conventional mill liners and the non-mill liner segment?
Manoj.
No, so Bhavis, as we discussed last time also that as of now, the margin in both the sides is more or less same. So it is not something very, very, you know, differential margin in the DynaPrime mill liner and non-DynaPrime liner. DynaPrime mill liner help us in create the volume in the business, right? And the idea is to just to give a, you know, a push the DynaPrime in the market, which will help us to grab the market and ultimately to focus on price increase. So focus is basically today is on the getting more market share with the fact that the price input cost has gone up abnormally high last year. At least we have been able to pass through those prices of now bearing 1.5% gap. I think that is what we are focusing on as of today.
Sure. Yeah. These were my questions. Thank you so much for taking my questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Neeraj Mansingka from White Pine Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I just had a question. How many sites you have right now in DynaPrime, including trials and installs?
I think we should really go away with the number of sites, because you know what is happening is if you see the revenue growth, you have a very strong revenue growth. It is basically on the process of trial and presentation in the various places. So the growth of site and the growth of business both are going hand to hand. So if you are looking at what percentage of growth we have got, close to around that we have the growth in the number of sites over there. I would not like to really specifically go into the number of sites in this call, please.
Okay, got it. But could you share some color on the growth? I understand you say 30% growth CAGR for next few years, but can you show some growth color so that we can understand if it's back end 400?
See, right from the beginning, right from the IPO, what we have been saying is, you know, the process that we are going through, where we are introducing in different geographies the DynaPrime, as well as of now today, we have not DynaPrime working in Africa, South Africa, Russia, in Australia, in Canada, and USA, we have put in a system. So Latin America, whatever has happened, the results of that are being taken globally. In Latin America also, we are looking at getting into newer customers which are over there. So as of now, spread across globally, we have number of sites on which we are working, and depending upon the customers and the process they are having, number of sites will start coming into the picture, which will reflect in both the order booking as well as the revenue growth that we will get from DynaPrime. And looking at what has happened and is happening today, I mean, 30% CAGR is given what we are looking at in this year and the next couple of years.
So one more question related to this. So if you're talking about 30% CAGR in DynaPrime, then why are having a low guidance for 15-18% for next few years?
DynaPrime has a low base.
Yeah, that's really understandable.
Look at the low base. So what is happening if you multiply the base of DynaPrime with the other bases, which is growing at a different trajectory, then you get the cumulative at 17-18%.
Okay. So the reason I asked you was that what I have observed that non-DynaPrime revenue also has been growing reasonable number. So that's reason I just asked that.
Yeah. So that's what I think. If you look at, finally, when we look at DynaPrime is outstripping the growth in all the other categories and has a lower base. Once the base comes to the same level, probably DynaPrime will drive the this thing. But as far as accumulated growth is concerned of the all the categories, then you get that this thing based on 30% growth of DynaPrime.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you are requested to restrict the number of questions to two per participant. We have our next question from the line of Keval Asher from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead. Mr. Asher? Please speak, sir. Mr. Asher, I'm sorry, but we are not able to hear you.
Sure, I'll get back in the queue.
We could hear you now. Can you try?
Okay. What is our right to win in hybrid mill liners compared to the ones manufactured by our global peers?
Can you repeat your question, please?
Yeah, sure. Sir, what is our right to win in hybrid mill liners compared to our global peers?
Global players, peers you want? I mean, again, from right from the IPO, we are saying if you look at the hybrid liner, which are DynaPrime DNVs, there are two categories of the hybrid. One is the ball mill and the sag mill. In sag mill area, as of now, with a body of work, the only credible supplier is us.
So our basic is disruption of this thing compared to the steel liners, how the steel liners are working and what the values we are delivering. Other peers are in the hybrid category. They have to design and establish their product before, you know, they come up to the level that we are there. So most of them are close to around 2 to 3 years behind us.
Got it, sir. And the second question is, you mentioned 30% growth in DynaPrime for the next few years. Of the 30%, how much would be volume growth?
I'm talking about volume growth only. I'm talking about volume growth.
Okay. So then how much would be the increase in realizations year on year for DynaPrime?
It depends. I mean, that's, again, that will be a little difficult to say because the pricing, costing, freight, everything, what's happening, it's a very fluid kind of a situation every year. We are, right from the beginning, we have told that we intend to keep the margins as close to 60% as possible, and that is what we are going to do. And depending upon year to year how the cost as well as logistic cost can be passed on, we'll be doing that.
Got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Khadija Mantri from Sharekhan. Please go ahead. I request you to restrict your questions to two.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. The question is that in our portfolio, is everything manufactured in-house or do we have some imported components as well?
No, everything is in-house manufacturing.
Okay. And sir, who all are our competitors, and is it possible or to quantify the market share?
Ram, sir.
Yeah. We have already, as far as the Red Herring Prospector was there, we had already given the market share as well as who are the major competitors. Major competitor is Metso in the DynaPrime range where we are head on with steel liner, it's Elect Metal, ME, Bradken, these are there. And as far as the global market share is concerned for mill liners, We are inching to number 4 as far as the market share is concerned.
And so there has not been any change given the global headwinds. There is no change in the market share.
It's only a year we have talked. We are talking about the report which is a year old. So
yes, sir.
Not major shift will occur in a year.
Okay, sir. Thanks. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. In the interest of time, this will be the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nachiket Kale for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks to all participants who asked questions on this call. We thank for everybody to share their time and connecting today. I would also like to thank the management for taking all the questions and providing their insights. For any other queries, you can get in touch with us. We, Orient Capital, are investor relations advisors to the industry. Please take care, everybody. Have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of Tega Industries, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.